While I was driving between appointments on Friday, I was listening to Jeremy Vine talking to Michael Molesley about the usefulness of mindfulness. At lunchtime, it made for a tormentful 6 minutes as Jeremy was taught to eat chocolate in a mindful manner. The audience heard the chocolate being broken into pieces and then into the piece that Jeremy was then to eat. We then heard him take a small bite from the piece he was holding in his hand, and he was then encouraged to allow the chocolate to melt in his mouth. At every stage of his encounter with the piece of chocolate, Jeremy was encouraged to take his time. In breaking the chocolate into pieces, he was to notice the sound, the colour, the heat, the texture of the chocolate. As he allowed the chocolate to melt in his mouth, he was to sense the texture, enjoy the taste. His mindful moment with the chocolate was all about being in that moment, not hurrying on to the next action, the next thought, but instead lingering in the moment. I know that some here will have experience of mindfulness and will see it as a way of relaxing, an opportunity to escape from the speed of the lives we live today, as we hurry from home to work and to activities and back again, and have information thrust at us by text, social media, emails, phones and television. There's so much to divert our attention away from this present moment, leading us to the next task, the next dream or ambition. So little time spent enjoying or being in this moment, or just being plain old bored. We expect life to be constant entertainment. The Mental Health Foundation describes mindfulness as an integrative mind-body-based approach that helps people to manage their thoughts and feelings. Mindfulness exercises are a way of paying attention to the present moment using techniques like meditation, breathing and yoga. Training helps people to become more aware of their thoughts, feelings and body sensations so that instead of being overwhelmed by them, they're better able to manage them. Practicing mindfulness can give more insight into emotions, boost attention and concentration, and improve relationships. In my old but much loved Chambers Dictionary, the word mindful is defined as bearing in mind, taking thought or care, attentive, observant, having memory. That notion of being mindful has long been part of the practice of faith. The suggestion is that the current practice of mindfulness comes out of Buddhism, but at the heart of a number of faiths, the idea of being attentive or thoughtful to the world around and our experiences has been important. Within the practice of Christian faith, worship, times of prayer and reflection are moments to be mindful. Times when those of faith step out of the hurry of the day to spend time in the presence of God. And there in the presence of God, they begin to notice, to be attentive to the happenings of the world around them. Our readings this morning invite us to pay attention, to step out of our experience of the world and see the world through the eyes of others. Psalm 146 surrounds what we're to notice with hallelujahs, framing life with the praise of God. The psalm contrasts the praise of God with the distrust of mortal life. From the praise of God in the opening verses, verses 3 and 4 highlight the imperfections of humanity. Then verses 6 to 9 offer a resume of the presence of the divine within human experience. God brings justice to the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, sets prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up the bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over strangers, upholds the orphan and the widow, brings the way of the wicked to ruin. These are verses that remind us that praising God is about more than rejoicing in the experience of the lively spirit within our lives. Instead, framing our lives with hallelujahs involves those times of praise, but it also means to notice and take action. In praising God, we're to be led to those who are in need of reminders of God's love, and we're buoyed up to offer our hands and voices in the sharing of God's grace in all of human life. At times, our experience of rediscovering the world that we're called to serve needs a story like that of Lazarus and the rich man. An apocalyptic story, it serves as a wake-up call, opening our eyes to see something we need to see. In his commentary on the text, Lutheran pastor David Luce writes, "Seeing in this gospel is a very big deal, because before you can have compassion for people, you have to see them, acknowledging their presence, needs and gifts, and above all, their status of children of God worthy of respect and dignity." Luce pulls our attention to see that the rich man failed to see Lazarus in life, and in death continues to ignore the fullness of Lazarus's humanity. In the Gospels, it's unusual for parables to contain the names of people, and in fact, Lazarus and Abraham are the only names to appear in a parable. It's an important detail. In naming Lazarus, he's awarded a dignity that he had not received in life. In death, in the presence of God, at the bosom of Abraham, at the heart of God, Lazarus is told of his importance and of the value of his humanity. Meanwhile, the rich man has no name. Some of you may be sitting there saying it's Dives, but that's just the Latin for rich man. We're told of the rich man's continuing ignorance of the value of all humanity, because it becomes apparent that by knowing Lazarus's name, he was aware of the poverty and pain of another and chose to do nothing. The request to have Lazarus go and tell 5 siblings of the torment in which the rich man now lives sees the rich man continue to undervalue Lazarus as he tries to make him a servant to his needs. It's an apocalyptic story that reminds us that while we might enjoy the abundance of the world around us, we cannot choose to ignore the hardships around us. Instead, we're reminded that true divine abundance is given to all when we experience the blessings of living and valuing the community around us. We fully understand God's grace when we're willing to share what we have with others. In the celebration of harvest each year, we are offered a liturgical moment to reflect and pause. Bringing the gifts of the abundance we've received today invites us to notice those who do not share the wealth and abundance we experience. If we take the apocalyptic story to heart, we may even be wondering what pain and poverty we have stepped over and ignored in our journey to the table this morning. With the needs of our world brought to our attention, we begin then to reframe our lives with hallelujahs. Hallelujahs that have us sing God's praise for all that we've received. Hallelujahs that have us shout for justice as God has disturbed our peacefulness to notice those who continue to live on the margins, whose names are not known, and whose needs are not met. Hallelujahs that urge us out of our comfort to place our lives in the hands of God, that he might teach us what it truly means to be a community that shares the grace of God. May we move from this mindful moment to reframe our lives with hallelujahs and truly live as the people of God. Amen.